This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, you can do that either through regular mail or through my website, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. So if you want them, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. I hope you will go to the website. It has quite a little information on it, including this program. You can re-listen to the program there. It also has a weekly meditation that you can read, and it has some other information. There's a Two Roads and Two Destinies chart that ties into the information we'll be talking about this morning, and if you had that before you, it might be some help to you in understanding what we're going to talk about this morning, because we're going into this issue of prophecy. And we ended up last time in Luke chapter 17 and verse 25, where the Lord has said to his disciples, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Now, the Pharisees have asked him when the kingdom is coming, and he has given them some general information, but then he turns to his disciples and begins to instruct them personally. I assume the Pharisees were still listening, but I can't say that for sure. But he does say that this generation of Jews, and particularly this generation of Pharisees, are going to reject him. And this is something that the disciples had a hard time with. They were following the Lord. They were expecting to be part of the actual earthly kingdom. They had argued about who was going to sit on the right hand of the Lord, who was going to sit on the left. And now the Lord is telling them that he's going to be rejected by this generation. And he's been telling them all along, trying to prepare them for the fact that he must suffer before he can reign, and that he must die before he's going to be able to come and reign. What he doesn't explain to them is that there's going to be a long period of time between these two events. Even we have trouble with some of the time element in the prophetic word. But as I've said before, I like to go back to Daniel chapter 9. I don't have time to do it today, because at the latter part of Daniel chapter 9, there's a calendar of events associated with prophecy, that is, with the Jewish people and how the Lord is going to deal with them. And that calendar is associated with an earthly land, with earthly promises. And we who are saved, are a spiritual land, a spiritual people with spiritual promises. And so the calendar really applies to the Jewish people. And we've got this long period of time between the time when the Lord preaches the acceptable year of the Lord in Luke chapter 4 and the time when he comes and deals with the day of vengeance of our God. And there's a long period of time in between those two points. But if you were to look at Daniel 9, that might not be clear to you. And if you were to look at some of these prophecies, that might not be clear to you. So when I deal with prophetic truth, I try to be very careful not to be dogmatic. I can tell you that I understand this much. The Lord was going to be crucified. He was going to be raised from the dead. He was going to establish a people for himself called the church. It wasn't going to be an earthly people now. It was going to be a spiritual people. At the end of the church age, he's going to come for the church. It's called the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4. And he's going to take the Christians that are truly saved home to be with himself. Because when we're saved from the judgment of God, whether it be earthly or whether it be eternal. And he takes us home to be with himself. And then there's a peace treaty signed on the part of an unbelieving nation of Israel with a man who promises them peace. He's a false Messiah. And when that peace treaty is signed, there's 7 years of terrible times that are going to be ushered in. As I understand, the first 3.5 years might be a time of relative calm, but it's going to be setting the stage for the last 3.5 years when the Jews are going to become under terrible persecution and the earth is going to reel from the judgments of God, both natural judgments and man-made judgments. The earth is going to reel from those judgments. At the end of that literal 7-year period, because that 7-year period is associated with the Jewish calendar, the Lord will come and set up his kingdom. He'll come to the Mount of Olives. He left from the Mount of Olives, and we read in Acts chapter 1 that this same Jesus, which has gone up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. And we believe that he'll come right back to the Mount of Olives. He will cleanse this world of the sinners who rejected him, and he will set up a righteous kingdom at that time, and that kingdom will last for a literal 1,000 years. Now, that I understand, but when I read from passages like Matthew 24 and Luke 17, there's always a question in my mind whether some of these events are going to take place before the rapture, and they're going to be signs that the Lord's coming and his judgment on the earth is very close, or are these events that all take place after the rapture, before he sets up his righteous rule? And I will tell you that it depends on who you read as to how these events are interpreted. I believe that there are things happening in the world today that look very much like the things we read about in Luke 17 and Matthew 24. The difficulty with being dogmatic and saying these things are the fulfillment of prophecy is that if you had been studying these passages when Hitler came to power, you would have said that Hitler was the Antichrist and that Hitler was the persecutor of the Jews, that the judgments had come, and you would have said that the Lord should have already returned for the church, which he had not. And those events do not appear to have been the fulfillment of the things that we're reading about in Matthew 24 and in Luke 17. Even though at the time it would have looked like that. And so we see things happening in the world today, and we have some dogmatic people who are saying this is the fulfillment of prophecy. When it comes to the day in which we live, we know that even Paul talks about in the last days, men are going to be lovers of themselves, they're going to be proud, boasters, and so on. He talks about general conditions that will exist at the end of the day of grace, but as far as understanding these gospel passages and the fulfillment of the signs that are in these gospel passages, while I think things like them are happening today and we should be concerned about the unsaved who have not prepared for the day of judgment, they're not saved, yet at the same time, I'm not going to be dogmatic as to just exactly how these events will play out. I think I have to be careful not to say it's going to happen in a certain way and then have God come along and do it in a little different way that actually fulfills the passage, but makes it appear that God was a liar because I said I had the word of God. But what I do see is some general principles in these passages. And the general principle is that God has judged the world before, and he has warned those that were going to be judged that they were going to be judged, and then the judgment came. And he's going to judge the world again. He's going to judge sinners who reject him eternally. He's going to judge nations that reject him on this earth, and we need to recognize that God has provided a way of salvation from all of his judgments, but if we don't take that way of salvation, the judgment is going to come, and when it comes, it's going to come rapidly. So the last time we left off at Luke 17 and verse 25, where it says, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So again, the Lord was saying that these very Pharisees that were asking him about the kingdom were going to reject him. The Lord was going to be crucified. That was hard for the disciples to accept. Then verse 26 says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that word revealed tends to make me believe he's talking about when he'll be revealed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and will set up his kingdom. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. And so, when we look at these passages, he's saying that the days of Noah are a picture to us of what's going to happen when the Lord returns. The days of Lot are a picture to us of what's going to happen when the Lord returned. And it appears that there's going to be a carelessness with regard to the things of God. There's going to be an unbelieving spirit, and there's going to be gross immorality. And even though Noah spent 120 years building the ark, and people should have known they needed to enter into that ark to be saved, they didn't. When the judgment came, it was too late. And just as in Lot's case, the angels came and took Lot and his wife and two daughters out of that city, so they were really being warned that judgment was coming, but they didn't believe it, and the judgment came. And the question is, are we being warned today that judgment is coming, and are we not believing it? Or is this warning simply a warning that takes place after the rapture during the tribulation period? Well, I like to make things practical, and even though these events may specifically relate to the revelation of the Lord and to a time of relative peace when people do not believe that judgment is coming during the tribulation period, I think we should be paying attention to what is written here, and we should recognize that we live in this kind of a day, and we need to be ready for the Lord to return. We need to have recognize that even though we live in a day of grace when people get by with murder, and yes, they get by with murder, they get by with immorality, they get by with all kinds of things, and judgment is not immediate because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to recognize that judgment is coming. Judgment is a part of the gospel. And just as judgment will come on an unbeliever who does not accept Christ, judgment's going to come on the nations that do not accept Christ, and that's going to happen during that seven-year period that we call the tribulation period. And when it happens, it's going to happen quickly, and it's going to happen ferociously, and it's going to be a period of time that nobody will want to pass through. And so we need to be delivered from this wrath. That's what happened to the Thessalonians when they turned from idols to serve the living and true God. They were delivered from the wrath to come, and my friend, this wrath is coming, and regardless of the detail of how it takes place, you need to be delivered, you need to be saved, and you can only be saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood that we might be forgiven, who bore our punishment in his own body on the tree. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened, and we just trust that there will be someone who will turn to the Lord today and be saved, somebody who will be encouraged because they have been saved from all of this, and we pray that you'll bless thy word as we commit all that we have said that is of thyself to thee in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.